I get so excited about these little things, and they're good examples of how something small, something often thrown away or could be thrown away, has valuable information on it and is of historic value, even if perhaps not always of monetary value. And I'll start with this little envelope. And it doesn't look much. The first thing you notice is actually whoever's put the stamp on it in 1856 has put it upside down, and you sort of think, oh, well, maybe they couldn't read. It's actually a letter from South Tambaroora, which in 1856 is Hill End, as yet unnamed. And certainly Tambaroora South is exactly the postmark on the back. It took 5 months to get to London, but interestingly, it took 4 days to go from Sofala to Sydney. Important, while it's not very valuable because of its stamp, you know, maybe $100, it's important to me because it's the oldest piece of Hill End philatelic example that I can find. So
dating back to when, Tom?
1856. Amazing. So the first years of 10th City up here. So that's one little thing. Now, we often talk about mining companies, and there's still one here, by the way, Hill End Gold. Here's an original from 1872, Paxton's Gold Mining Company. And this share, it's just prior to the absolute boom. What's it worth? Well, a few hundred dollars on the market. But to me, it's really important because it's signed by Joseph Paxton, one of the miners who came here and actually was reef mining in the 1860s and had the grand success in the 1870s. So that one means a lot to me. Just as much, I suppose, though, as you can see that Hill End Mines kept going. Here's one from the 20s. We have another wild side. Hawkins Hill South, 100 shares. And then by the time you get to the 50s, the mines changed again. The Byers Holtermann Nugget Gold Company, 100 shares in the 50s. So there was continued action. And finally, the mines have been amalgamated through Hill End Gold.
Now, speaking of the gold, driving in here yesterday afternoon, Tom, seeing, you know, how the land has really been worked over.
That's
and
right.
You really get that sense, seeing these certificates, that they were everywhere.
That's right. The mulloch heaps you see around in the overworked earth is because of the successive moves from alluvial right through deep reef, and then the re-prospecting, firstly by the Chinese, then by the 20s, poor man's prospectors, as we talk about it. Then the 50s, it all starts again. Now, here's something that is real. It weighs a ton.
We've got a giant ladle.
It's an original gold ladle from the Northumberland mine, 1860s, and it was found by Bill Lyle, whose cottage I have at the moment, or I'm helping restore. And I finally got that, unbelievably, on eBay. I bought this on eBay, and the gentleman who had acquired it from Lyle, who was a school teacher in the 60s, and who was using this to talk about gold, put it up on eBay and mentioned that it came from Hill End. So I chased him down, and I acquired it off him for not a great sum. But it was very important for me because it was an example of Lyle was gifting something for teaching purposes, and it was coming right back to me hundreds of years later.
In the few houses we have stuck our noses in the last day or so, Tom, people have got treasures all over the place, haven't they?
Well, I think so. And I think it's certainly out there. I mean, everybody's house, as we keep saying, has a treasure of some sort. Every one of these handful of houses, I've got to remember, there's a lot of space here. There's a handful of houses. They are living treasures. The houses are being restored. They're a living personage themselves. You can sense the 1860s and 70s because the care and attention that both parks and the leaseholders and the artists and the owners here are putting into it. It's for the future, and you can have it any moment of your life.
Good on you, Tom.
Okay.
Thank you for showing us through some of your treasures.